Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Heart of the Pack by Lisa Edmonds. Narrated by Felicity Monroe. Chapter 1. Thundering crashes shook the entire house and rattled every window. I jolted awake and sat bolt upright as if I'd been electrified. Glass shattered downstairs, followed by another house-shaking crash. A gray and scarlet blur shot through our open bedroom door. Esme, my little cat dragon, landed on our bed, folded her wings, and flicked her stubby spiked tail. In the faint pre-dawn light coming through the windows, her emerald eyes sparkled with mischief and triumph. A tiny, frustrated howl drifted up the stairs from whatever remained of our living room.
Oh!
I flopped back onto the bed and covered my face with a pillow.
Oh, come on, you little twerps,
I groaned, my voice muffled.
The sun isn't even up yet.
Just before dawn is the best time for baby wolf zoomies. Sean nudged the pillow aside just enough to kiss my neck. Or hadn't you heard?
Sean Macklin, how could I not hear that racket?
I grumbled. He chuckled and nuzzled my jaw. His werewolf body temperature kept me hot, even on chilly nights. So did his werewolf body, all 6'2", of which was on display just inches away. Neither of us had bothered with sleepwear after last night's bed frolics. Normally, the visual treat of all that bare skin in bed next to me made early mornings worth waking up for. Not today, however. Even Sean's perfect chest and almost intoxicating forest scent, inches from my nose, couldn't make up for waking up a full 90 minutes before I'd planned to, much less offset the knowledge a pile of broken glass and goodness knows what else awaited us downstairs.
And this damn pukus just eggs Daisy on, too.
I tossed the pillow aside and glared at Esme. She'd changed forms while I had my face covered. Now a small gray cat, she washed her paw at the foot of our bed, as innocent as could be. Freaking cat dragon, just because you can sleep all day if you want to doesn't mean the rest of us can. Some of us have to work to keep a roof over your head and food in your bowl. Esme eyed me as if to say, I put food in my own bowl, thank you very much. She raised one of her back legs and licked her hindquarters, very deliberately, while maintaining eye contact. Sean chuckled, then tried to disguise it as a cough when I turned my scowl on him. Baby wolf zoomies, I muttered. Unbelievable. We've had Daisy less than 2 weeks and she's already broken half our stuff. Well, not quite half, Sean quipped. Maybe a third at most. I ignored him. At this rate, we'll be lucky if the house stays standing long enough for her to outgrow this phase, even with my wards reinforcing the walls. I don't know how she manages to destroy so much. She only weighs 10 pounds. Imagine the damage a full-sized werewolf would do. Good thing the rest of you wolves have outgrown the zoomie problem. He didn't respond. I turned to stare at him. If I didn't know better, I'd have thought he looked a little sheepish. My eyes widened. Sean's wolf weighed nearly 200 pounds, and his head reached my chest. If he ever got the zoomies in wolf form, he'd go through house walls like a wrecking ball. Oh, God, please tell me you've outgrown the zoomies, I pleaded. He cleared his throat.
Mostly outgrown them. Fortunately, adult werewolves can usually hold off the urge until we're outside and in wide open spaces.
I sighed. Thank goodness for small favors. Thumps and angry yips from the direction of the stairs caught our attention. Esme stopped grooming herself and turned toward the source of the noise. She inquired. Her eyes glinted with impish glee. The threat of additional destruction roused Sean from our bed. He pulled on the pajama pants he'd discarded last evening and hurried down the hall toward the stairs. When he returned, he carried our problem child nestled in his arms. Baby Daisy had jet black fur with distinctive white streaks on her shoulders and tail. Despite her size and what sounded like a couple of tumbles, Daisy must have made it almost a third of the way up the steps before Sean picked her up. She was a stubborn, nearly fearless little thing. That made sense, given she was, for all intents and purposes, me. Well, the wolf version of me, given physical form, first by a sorcerer's power, and then a fae who'd owed me a big, big favor. Daisy spotted her playmate-slash-rival, Esme, on the bed. She struggled in Sean's arms and let out a tiny growl that was 1,000 times more adorable than it was intimidating. I covered my mouth with my hand to hide my smile so I didn't hurt her feelings. Esme swished her tail, clearly unimpressed by Daisy's baby snarl. Esme's twitching tail proved irresistible to Daisy, who growled again and doubled her efforts to escape. His warm, golden magic tingled on my skin. Daisy stopped wriggling immediately and settled into the crook of his elbow with a contented sigh. I caught a flash of multicolored magic with a streak of bright violet in her beautiful dark eyes, just before she closed them. Like most pups, she could fall asleep at the drop of a hat, often in hilariously awkward poses. On this occasion, Sean had used his alpha power to make our little girl sleepy. Hopefully, that would bring a temporary end to the chaos. I reached out. Hand her over and get your wolfy butt back in bed. Obediently, Sean deposited Daisy into my hands and slipped under the covers. We curled up together with Daisy between us, our noses against her fur as she settled in for a nap. She smelled like puppy, vanilla, and sunshine. And potting soil. I checked her feet and found incriminating evidence all over her oversized puppy paws. Oh, damn it, I sighed. Yet another of my potted plants in the living room had no doubt fallen victim to pup and dragon shenanigans. With Daisy no longer available to chase, Esme curled up against the back of my legs. Her growly purr vibrated the entire king-sized bed. I glanced around for Rogue, our part-husky mutt, but he was nowhere to be seen. When Daisy and Esme got rowdy, he usually took refuge somewhere quiet. "Sorry about your plants," Sean murmured. "I did enjoy having them while they lasted." "Thanks," I said wryly. Given Daisy is the wolf version of me, is all this chaos a result of the fey magic Thiel gave her, natural pup energy, or my tendency to wreak havoc everywhere I go? He leaned over to kiss the tip of my nose, which I loved, even though it tickled. "All of the above, probably." His golden brown eyes twinkled. "Honestly, though, given her pedigree, it's not been as bad as I feared it might be." I sucked in a breath. "Do not say that out loud. You'll jinx us. We still have some stuff that's not broken." Sean chuckled. Moving slowly so he didn't disturb our sleepy girl, he picked up the necklace I always wore and held it up so the wolf's head amulet and the sword ring that hung on the chain caught the light. I'd received the amulet months ago as a gift from our witch friend Carly Reese, but the ring was new. During a recent quick early holiday getaway, Sean and I had exchanged gifts and discovered we'd both gotten each other handmade, one-of-a-kind steel rings forged from blades of ancient swords. Exchanging such rings was an ancient shifter tradition. Somehow we'd decided to show our love at the same time, in the same way. The rings signified our intention to officially be mates someday. And strangest of all, from the moment Sean put his gift on my necklace, I'd felt as though the amulet had been waiting for the ring all along. I loved the sword ring Sean had designed for me. Thin, shiny bands etched with shifter runes ran on both sides of a raw steel center band marked with strikes to the sword it had come from. It was battle-scarred, but strong. Like me. I touched Sean's ring on its long chain around his neck. His also had shifter runes inscribed on a single wide band with similar strike marks. Inside the band, the artist who made it had engraved the silhouette of a wolf. Sean gave me the smile that was just for me, the one that made the corners of his eyes crinkle. Those tiny laugh lines had undone me the night we met, even though I'd been so determined to keep our time together short and sweet. 8 or so months later, we'd fought more than our share of foes, survived breakups, makeups, and shakeups, and become different and better people than we were before we met. We'd both changed, but in very different ways. Sean had always been kind, caring, and fierce, unlike most alpha shifters who preferred women who were easy to control, he'd wanted an equal partner. That was well and good in theory, but with me, he'd had to learn what it meant to love someone as intense and unyielding as himself. In my case, I'd gone from an admittedly unfriendly, rude loner, afraid to trust anyone at all, to a woman who accepted the love and protection of her pack, and who loved and protected them in return. Sometimes the realization of how much Sean and I loved each other and the extent of my evolution left me almost too stunned to move. He kissed me gently, the way he did when he knew my emotions had gotten tangled up.
Penny for your thoughts, Miss Magic.
Just thinking about how far we've come together. I smiled so he knew I was all right, then let out a groan. And definitely not thinking about the mess downstairs.
Me either. I'll deal with it, but not right now.
He rested his head against mine.
Want to go back to sleep?
Do I want to? Yes, but can I? I sighed. No, I think I'm awake for the day. You can sleep, though.
As you know, my wolf doesn't like to let me sleep if you're awake, and he's feeling even more attentive than usual after our getaway.
He trailed his fingertips down my bare arm.
Very attentive.
Sleepy baby, I reminded him, nodding at Daisy. When his expression turned tragic, I relented. But maybe later, in the shower. His eyes glowed golden.
I'm going to hold you to that.
I winked. You know you won't have to talk me into it. Morning shower sex was among my most favorite things, though it often required our long-term house guest, my father Daniel, to go outside to avoid overhearing things that made for awkwardness later in the day. This particular morning, however, I figured we were free to play around if we wanted. Given he hadn't responded to the earlier sounds of destruction, I assumed Daniel wasn't currently in the house. He'd probably shifted and gone running around our property. These days, he spent more time outside than inside. The two main reasons for his change in behavior were the abrupt departure of our other house guest, who he'd helped care for, and a complicated situation involving Nan Lowell, beta of our pack. Through our open bedroom door, I spotted the doorway of our workout room, which had doubled as a second guest room. Now it was empty. Its temporary resident left while Sean and I were on our weekend getaway. Sean nuzzled my hair.
I'm sorry about Ronan,
he murmured. For a man who couldn't read my mind, he had an uncanny habit of knowing what I was thinking about.
You deserve better than a goodbye note.
Yeah, well, he's going through a lot, even by fallen angel standards. Kidnapped, tortured, and beaten for who knows how long, stripped of his immortality and most of his power, and dumped naked and almost dead on our lawn with nothing but his sword. It doesn't surprise me that he left the moment he could walk. He wants to pull himself together in private. I might have done the same thing in his shoes. After a moment, I added, I did hope he would stay, though, and let pack energy help heal his spirit, as well as his body.
You can understand why he left, and be hurt by it.
He kissed the top of my head.
you consider him pack. It hurts when a pack mate walks away.
I did think he felt like part of our pack, at least in some way. Maybe not. At least he promised to come back as soon as he finds a place to live and a job.
What kind of job do you think he'll look for?
Something similar to what he did before. I think the bounty hunter lifestyle suits him. He didn't care much for following anyone else's rules or orders before, and I bet after what his fellow angels did to him, he's even less in the mood to take orders now.
I'm sure he'll get himself an identity and find work.
Sean laced our fingers together.
Do you think he'll try to work for the vampire court?
I grimaced. I hope not. In fact, I doubt it, given he promised to come for Valis's soul if she reneged on the deal we made when I got back from the Broken World. I don't think he has anything against vampires, per se, but he wouldn't want her to know he's not as powerful now as he was when he threatened her.
That's a good point. He growled. I'm angry that he hasn't at least called to check in so you know he's all right.
He's not really the sort of person who checks in, I snorted, since that was one hell of an understatement. Ronan can look after himself. I'm trying not to worry too much. We've got enough on our plates, like your campaign for the were-ruling council, figuring out who hired a PI to dig into my past, my grandfather, and... I waved my hand vaguely at the windows, as if all our troubles were piled outside in the yard. You know, the rest.
My Alice, we'll sort it all out.
He gave me another quick kiss.
What's on your agenda today?
Malcolm and I have an easy gig putting wards on a business. That shouldn't take more than a few hours. At noon, I have a meeting with Arcady at my office to talk about our partnership. Then I'll come back here and help Daniel get things ready for the cookout. In the meantime, I've deputized Daniel to shop for whatever last-minute food and supplies we need. You need to finalize his shopping list before you leave for work. I nestled my head against Sean's and stroked Daisy's soft fur. Her quiet puppy snoring made me smile. What about you?
Just another day at the office. Lots of meetings and paperwork. Our workload always slows down around this time of year.
Not that the holidays are to blame for the slowdown this year, I said, my voice bitter. My grandfather wants to keep the pressure on me to go to work for him on his terms. Macklin Security isn't going to get a single decent contract if he can help it until I sign on the dotted line. And meanwhile, I'm stuck on the sidelines watching your business and your friendship with Ron fall apart.
My business will be fine. My partnership and friendship with Ron is not falling apart.
Sean nuzzled my hair again, which comforted both him and his wolf.
And none of it is your fault. The blame is all on Moses, every last bit of it.
That doesn't mean I don't feel terrible about what's happening to your company's bottom line while Moses and I haggle over the fine print of our deal. Magic sparked on my fingers. Perhaps sensing my anger, Daisy let out a tiny yip in her sleep. I shushed her and reined in my fury. I can't rush things, no matter how badly I want to. Our lives depend on me making the best deal I can. He kissed me hard.
Well, on a happier note, Casey's finished her counseling. She told me she's ready to go ahead with her change.
That was happy news. I adored Casey Campbell, the red-haired fiancé of our pack's third, Ben. She'd be a very welcome addition to our pack.
She wants to do it the day before Christmas Eve, so she has plenty of time to adjust before their wedding,
Sean added.
I'll make the formal announcement to our pack tonight at the cookout.
That's really great. I'm sure she and Ben will be very happy. Either he heard something in my tone, or he sensed my complicated emotions at the news. He tipped my chin up with his fingertips so he could see my eyes.
I don't wish you wanted to become a werewolf. I don't look at Ben and Casey and think, that could be us. I love you, just as you are.
I know you do. I took a deep breath and let it out. Still, part of me wishes I did want to be changed, so we could share that part of our lives, too.
We do share that part of our lives,
he corrected, his voice gentle but firm.
You might not turn into a wolf, but you're my heart, whether I'm a man or a wolf. My wolf knows who he belongs to, and who belongs to him.
He frowned.
You don't feel like we share that connection?
Most of the time I do, but sometimes... I tried to figure out how to explain my feelings. I see mated couples, and it feels like there's something more to what they have because they run together in wolf form. And now Ben and Casey will have that too, on top of how much they love each other. I'm 100% happy for them, but I guess I'm envious. Does that make me a bad person?
Not at all, love.
He rested his forehead against mine.
That's a perfectly understandable way to feel. I will say, however, that I think we've got that same special something more you sense from mated shifters. I've sensed it for a long time.
Then why don't I feel it? Frustrated, I rubbed the bridge of my nose. What does that mean?
We'll get there.
He raised my hand to his lips and kissed my knuckles.
In the meantime, we share our love for our Princess of Chaos.
Which one? I asked dryly. I assume you mean Daisy, not Ez. And if Daisy's the Princess of Chaos...
Yes, that means you, as her mother, are the Queen of Chaos.
He chuckled and nuzzled my hair.
As your ghost sidekick might say. What? You're going to claim it's not true?
I snorted. Malcolm would indeed have said that.
And then, besides our princess, there's the other big gift we got from your fey friend.
He nodded in the direction of my nightstand. In the top drawer, inside a spelled box, a beautiful amulet full of fey and shifter magic waited for me to use it. I still can't believe that on Christmas morning I'll get to shift and spend 7 days as a wolf. I snuggled closer to his warm chest. I keep worrying I'll wake up and find out I dreamed Thiel gave me that amulet.
It's not a dream, but it's definitely a dream come true.
He squeezed my hand.
I've never looked forward to Christmas morning so much in my life. Not even when I was 11, and I hoped my parents had finally gotten me the bike I'd wanted all year.
Smiling, I pictured preteen Sean rising before dawn to look for his dream bike under the Christmas tree. I'd seen pictures of him with that beloved gift. Honestly, if you wanted to keep that bike in the top spot on your list of best ever Christmases, I wouldn't be insulted.
Not even that comes close to spending 7 days with you as a wolf. I'm so happy to have that time with you. It almost makes how you got that amulet seem worthwhile.
I made a face. I earned it the hard way, that's for sure. Dawn had come while we talked. Early morning light streamed through our windows. Esme blinked sleepily at the open curtains, gave us a disapproving look and curled up tighter with one velvet paw over her eyes. They woke us up early and now they're going to sleep while we have to go to work. I glared at both Esme and Daisy, but neither had their eyes open. I crossed my arms. Life is fundamentally unfair.
That it is, Sean agreed.
Very carefully, he slid toward the edge of the bed.
But having said that, can I perhaps interest you in some fundamentally satisfying werewolf TLC?
I pretended to mull it over, though my body was already responding in ways Sean's werewolf nose could detect, judging by his knowing smile. I'm not sure, I hedged. If I stay in bed, I could get another 30 minutes of rest before my alarm goes off, and I'm so cozy next to our fur babies.
I know another, better way to keep you warm.
He rose and came around to my side of the bed, already well on his way to being ready to make good on his promise, a fundamentally satisfying werewolf TLC. When my hungry gaze fell on his arousal, his smile grew. He reached under the covers and scooped me up. Esme opened one eye to see what was going on, then went back to sleep. Daisy didn't so much as stir. That pup could sleep through a marching band coming through the room. Like a man on a mission, Sean carried me quickly into the master bedroom. Caveman, I scolded, poking him in the shoulder. Me, woman, but me can walk.
I'm a hungry wolf, Miss Magic.
He set me on the bathroom rug, stripped off his pajama pants, and turned on the shower. The moment the water got hot, he herded me inside and pinned me against the tile wall with his body.
And I'm not into waiting, he murmured,
his lips against my throat, as his fingertips explored secret places that turned my knees to rubber. I gave him a few caresses of my own, not that he needed much encouragement in that department at the moment, or ever, truth be told. So, what are you into, wolf? I asked, breathless. He picked me up with his hands under my thighs.
You, he said roughly.
And then he was. Mornings really are the best. Chapter 2. Arcady Woodall, my living bestie, dropped her chopsticks and an empty takeout container in the trash, propped her combat boots on the edge of my desk, and crossed her ankles. So, are we doing this or what? She asked. As usual, the tall, leggy blonde wore all black. Today's outfit was what she referred to as ass-kicker casual. A snug black t-shirt, black blazer, gray pants with a dozen pockets, and boots well-suited to a cross-country hike or kicking down a door. I happened to know the blazer covered her shoulder holster, and the pants hid her ankle holster. She had her shoulder-length hair up in a ponytail for the same reason I almost always kept my long hair in a braid. In a fight, long hair could be a liability. From behind me, where he floated near my office windows, my no-longer-living bestie Malcolm piped up.
"Can you even taste your food when you don't bother to chew? I mean, do you have any idea what you just ate?"
"Yep, kumpao tofu." Arcady wiped her hands with a napkin and tossed it in the trash, too. "Chewing is for people with time on their hands." Malcolm floated back and forth and scowled. The sunlight streaming through his body made strange shapes and shadows on the carpet. The blonde, blue-eyed ghost's afterlife attire consisted of a button-up shirt with the sleeves rolled up to his elbows, jeans, sneakers, and glasses. Arcady gulped water from her newest accessory, an oversized, insulated bottle she'd refilled from the break room cooler once already. She'd chugged so much water since arriving at my office that I felt like I needed to pee, just in sympathy. She'd complained she hadn't gotten enough water lately, and it had affected her reflexes. That didn't make much sense to me, but I wasn't a former specially trained army officer with at least 4 weapons on me at all times.
"Old habits die hard, you know," she added as she capped her bottle and set it next to her chair. "No leisurely chow times where I come from."
"Where was that? Living with a pack of hyenas?" Malcolm asked. "I guess it's true what they say about old dogs and new tricks, then."
Razzing Arcady was one of his new favorite pastimes, and a dangerous hobby. He might be dead, but that didn't mean she couldn't make him sorry. With her stare fixed in Malcolm's direction, Arcady drew a knife with blood magic runes etched on the blade from her boot. She flipped it a couple of times in her hand without looking at it. Given how sharp that edge was, I tried not to flinch every time she caught the handle.
"Please stop," I said after the 4th flip.
"I know I have a better chance of laying an egg than you have of grabbing the wrong end of that knife, but my nerves aren't up to this today." Arcady made a pfft sound.
"Fine."
She stuck the knife back into the hidden sheath in her boot. "Then tell Ghost Boy to..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?